ओम ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Today I'm reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, a title which we gave to the idea for today's talk is How to Turn Matter into Spirit. And we are given some very useful, practical instructions in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavatam. That is the first canto, fifth chapter, by Sri Narada Muni, who instructs Srila Vyasadeva about how to, first of all, benefit people in general in the best way. And the way he describes that is by very specifically describing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. It hadn't been done completely enough, even though he had compiled the Vedas, and he was feeling incomplete. And when we come into the fifth chapter, Srila Vyasadeva is morose and unhappy that he hasn't done his duty somehow properly, and he's not sure of his deficiency, so he approaches his spiritual master. And his spiritual master, Narada Muni, tells him that you've not gone far enough in all of your writings to describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You've described non-reactive work in the material world, and you've told people also ways in which to work in the material world to elevate themselves through the Vedas. But in one way, he said, you've cheated people. You haven't actually given them the straight process. And he admonishes him that anything that you desire to describe that's not about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, doesn't lead to his service, disturbs the mind. And he also says, Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varditam nashobate jnanam alam niranjanam, that if you don't have achuta bhava, or this feeling for the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the work that you're doing, and an intention to please him by your work, then it's not beautiful. And then he says, what to speak of fruitive activities that are entangling from beginning to end. They simply lead to misery. So even if naishkarmyam, or working without fruitive result, results in a kind of moroseness or non-satisfaction ultimately, what to speak of fruitive activity, and the medicine is to think about, hear about, describe in detail the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our relationship with him. And near the end of this chapter, he gives several verses, starting with number 32, which I'll read. Etat sam suchitam brahmams tapatraya chikitsitam yadishvare bhagavati karma brahmani bhavitam. Etat, this much, samsuchitam, decided by the learned. Brahman, O Brahmana Vyas, tapatraya, three kinds of miseries. Chikitsitam, remedial measures. Yat, what? Ishvare, the Supreme Controller. Bhagavati, unto the Personality of Godhead. Karma, one's prescribed activities. Brahmani, unto the great. Bhavitam, dedicated. Translation, O Brahman of Vyasadeva, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Let's say together, O Brahmana Vyasadeva, is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And the next verse is 33. Amayo yashcha bhutanam jayate yena suvrata tadeva yamayam dravyam napunati chikitsitam amayaha diseases yacha whatever, utanam, of the living being, jayate, become possible, yena, by the agency, suvrata, O good soul, tat, that, eva, certainly, excuse me, very, he, certainly, amayam, disease, dravyam, thing, na, does it not, punati, cure, chikitsitam, treated with. Second time we've heard this word, chikitsitam. Would everyone like to say it? It's nice, right? What's this about? Chikitsitam. You could name someone chikitsitam. Translation, oh good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by that very same thing? Altogether, O good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by that very same thing? Purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. An expert physician treats his patient with a therapeutic diet. For example, milk preparations sometimes cause disorder of the bowels, but the very same milk converted into curd and mixed with some other remedial ingredients cures such disorders. Similarly, the threefold miseries of material existence cannot be mitigated simply by material activities. Such activities have to be spiritualized. Just as by fire, iron is made red hot, and thereby the action of fire begins. Similarly, the material conception of a thing is at once changed as soon as it is put into the service of the Lord. That is the secret of spiritual success. We should not try to lord it over the material nature, nor should we reject material things. The best way to make the best use of a bad bargain is to use everything in relation with the Supreme Spiritual Being. Everything is an emanation from the Supreme Spirit, and by His inconceivable power, He can convert spirit into matter and matter into spirit. Therefore, a material thing, so-called, is at once turned into a spiritual force by the great will of the Lord. The necessary condition for such a change is to employ so-called matter in the service of the spirit. That is the way to treat our material diseases and elevate ourselves to the spiritual plane, where there is no misery, no lamentation, and no fear. When everything is thus employed in the service of the Lord, we can experience that there is nothing except the Supreme Brahman. The Vedic mantra that everything is Brahman is thus realized by us. So the chikitsitam means remedial measure. So it means that I'm overcoming some disease. And in speaking on these verses, Prabhupada remembered a time in India when he heard a story or saw it for himself, he didn't clarify, that a young man, the son of his father, who had been at his father's deathbed, when the father made a final request that I have a debt to pay to one of my colleagues, and you please liquidate that death after my departure. After the departure of his father, the son went with the money and met the colleague and said, my father told me on his deathbed that he has a debt and he wants to take care of that debt and he asked me to do it. And the colleague looked at his records. He said, no, he doesn't owe me the money. And the son insisted, no, please take the money He owes you. He told me himself he owes you. Please take it. And the merchant said, no, no. He doesn't owe me the money. He wouldn't take it. So there was this back and forth. And Prabhupada mentioned that. He said, this was India. And he said, this was based on an understanding that if I leave a debt, if I cheat someone of their rightful property, then in the next life I will owe them four times. The law of karma. I'll have to pay them back four times next life. And because people were aware of the continuum that we're living in, and not just concerned with the compartmentalized lifetime that we're in now, they were very concerned with living in a nonviolent way, not cheating others, and so forth. However, then Prabhupada pointed out that even at that time, I think President Nixon was in office, and all of you are too young to remember President Nixon, but he ended up being a cheater. I mean, didn't end up, he was a cheater, he just got caught later on trying to send his men to break into offices and steal information from the other party to be used against them and so forth. It was a great violation, and he was impeached and in ignominy kicked out of office. And Prabhupada, obviously everyone was aware of that. Prabhupada was very much aware of current events, world affairs, and so forth, although he didn't study them minutely. You know, he kept up on them, and he even wrote about them very specifically in his Bhakti Guided magazines before he came to America. There were topical articles related to the world and in the direction it was going in relationship to the need for Krishna consciousness. And in this particular case, he said, now because even the leaders are cheating, yad yad acharati shreshtas tat tad evi taro janaha. He said, when a leader sets an example, then people in general follow, and it's natural that everyone will say, well, he did it, so I can do it too, so it doesn't matter. And Prabhupada said, therefore, we have a whole society of people who don't value the truth, and they'll cheat for various reasons. They'll cheat the government, they'll cheat others for some temporary gain, and not aware of the fact that you can't cheat anybody but yourself ultimately, which was the ethic before that. And so this causes difficulty in people's lives. This is a kind of vikarma. People become caught up in the reactions of their own cheating and their own disobedience to Shastra. Shastra gives us the proper orders in order to live in the world in a harmonious way. Jagnartat kamano natra lokoyam karma bandana tarartam karma konteya mukta sangha samachara. There's a way in which one can work in this world under the direction of Shastra, and then one's work will become beneficial to oneself and to others, to the environment even. I just heard yesterday that the Pope came out with a very strong statement. Actually, it's unprecedented for a Pope to say such a thing, that he said the sin of our time, the sin of humanity, is against the environment, how we've polluted the environment because of our wanton desire and pursuit of sense gratification and so forth. And he said this is a sin against nature, which is God's green earth and so forth. Even there's a story I heard recently about how at the very beginning of Kali Yuga, the sacred rivers were protesting that and afraid that Kali Yuga was coming because threatening to leave because they said they would become a dumping ground for all kinds of toxicity, especially people's own sins, who would come there to bathe and leave them. Little did we know that would also conclude, it would also lead to a complete disregard for their sacred nature, and industries and governments and would organize things in such a way that toxic chemicals would be poured into them, with the speech of sewage and all kinds of other things. This is sort of the product of Kali Yuga, not considering the consequences, living only for the moment, momentary idea of what's good for me right now. And there are implications in nature because of that. And one becomes entangled, and the modes of nature tighten on one, and one becomes restricted in one's activities and actually has to be punished. And this is what's called tapatraya. Tapatraya chikitsitam means that there's a need of a remedy for all this. And Prabhupada, in describing these verses, also refers to the great banyan tree of the material world in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is always good to remember, to keep in mind where we are. And he describes how this world is a tree, and it's so vast that we can't see its end and we can't see its beginning. Just as when we're born, we don't know where we came from and we have no idea where we're going. It's hard to even guess. And in the meantime, we're restricted to a certain area of the earth for the most part. It's hard to go anywhere. And because of our previous karmas, we're locked into a certain kind of work and so forth. And we're forced to suffer or enjoy various kinds of reactions that come to us because of our previous karmas. And so Krishna advises Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita that you have to cut down the tree. And so these verses give a practical way of cutting down the tree, because it sounds a little bit scary, this idea of cutting down the tree, when we talk about this verse, Narupamasya hatatopa labhyate nanto nachadir nachasam pratishta ashvatamenam suvaruda mulam asanga shastrena jinena chitva. Cut it down. Everyone's like, what do you mean? I gotta give something up to do this? I thought spiritual life was nice. I don't want to give anything up. So Narada Muni is describing how we're working, and that work may be not properly motivated, and that's the problem. But the same work, the same activities, the same paraphernalia that we have now doesn't have to be tossed out the window. But it can be. We can re-motivate ourselves, and we can rededicate the things that we have for a better purpose, a higher purpose, the real purpose for which they exist. And by doing that, we'll solve the problem. That's called chikitsitam. Using whatever we have now, whatever has entangled us in the tree of work, in the tree of karma, to become free from the tree of karma. So he's saying here that everything you've done so far, everything that you have so far, can simply be readjusted in such a way that it becomes medicinal. And now, Prabhupada gives the very clear analogy in the purport about milk. It's one thing, but it can be overindulged. We can overindulge ourselves on milk products like, name a few, rubbery, sandesh. Although I think it would be hard to overindulge on sandesh. But in any case, rasgulla. And I tried once on gulab jamuns. I once ate 84 gulab jamuns when I was a young man. And I'm here to speak about it. I don't know. There's a way in which everyone's experienced that sense gratification has its limit. And this is what Prabhupada's talking about in this section. Beyond what's necessary, and this is the hard thing, the senses want more, 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 but you only need what's necessary for the senses. You don't need more. And when you take more, there's a reaction. That's the problem. And so one has to learn to take just what's necessary for the senses and not more. Otherwise, nature's laws are very stringent. And Prabhupada quotes the verse in regard to this commentary, Daiva hiyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Mameva ye prapadyante mayametam tarantite. That this divine energy of mine, everything, the way it's working is very mysterious. Just if you plant a few trees in your yard, you'll see how miraculous it is. That I was just picking strawberries today out of my garden, and I was thinking, where do these come from? And then you go to another tree, I have a peach tree now, and there's peaches coming off. And each one is perfectly designed with a different flavor and a different wrapping. And the material nature is going on in such an amazing and indescribable way. Who's behind all that? Krishna says, it's my divine nature. Daiva hi esha gunamayi. And then these three modes of material nature, which are bewildering, he says, in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, even to the devas. Everyone's bewildered by it from top to bottom. Even the great devas like Brahma and Shiva sometimes is bewildered by Krishna's energies and so forth. Very difficult to overcome. In the very first shloka of the Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva describes as kuakam. It's bewildering. It's like a magic show, this material nature. So Krishna says, daivahiyesha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya. Don't think about overcoming this by yourself with your own kinds of arrangements. It's ludicrous. But he said, if you surrender to me, then you can overcome these things. So how do you surrender? So it's a matter of a change of heart. One thing is one must be sincere. And sincerity means, the qualification from sincerity is that you want to know the truth. Some people don't want to know the truth, and there's a famous saying that's that was perpetrated from a popular movie that became a sort of a, it went viral, this one line. It's been passed around all the world. From a movie where the there was, I don't know the whole thing, but I just know that the exact one of the circumstances in that was someone had in the military had done something indiscreet, but done it secretly, and then when it came out in the courts, they said, "Why don't you tell the truth?" He said, "You can't handle the truth." That became a catch-all phrase. You can't handle the truth. And so there's a way in which when I'm invested in the material world, I can't handle the truth. Therefore, because it doesn't endorse my sense of controlling and owning the things that I think are mine. I don't want to give them up, so I don't want to actually hear the truth. Because once I do, I'll think I'll have to give all these things up. That's why I mentioned earlier, when we hear about chitva, cut it down, everyone's like, "Eh, I don't think I want to hear about that right now. That's a little too intense for me. Let's hear something else. Let's hear a sermon about how we're meant to have that big house on the hill. And if you just, you know, pray to God, and you're a good person, God wants you to live in prosperity. You can come back from every adversity and enjoy the prosperity that God has in mind for you." No offense to any of our Christian brethren or anyone else who's preaching, not that all Christians all preach like that, but everyone, even Narada Muni's accusing Vyasadeva in this chapter that you're watering things down. You're not giving it straight. So you're going to confuse people, because in the material world, everyone has this desire to go for the easy thing. When Prabhupada once, on an airplane, was given a 7-Up, you know how it is. They come by and say, "Here, take this, take that." Back in the old days, they actually had some service. Nowadays, they throw a glass of tap water at you and say, "You want this or this rotten orange juice?" You know? Back in the old days, they used to come back, you know, and it was like, it was a big deal getting on a flight. Everyone would dress up with a tie, and, you know, now it's a different situation. But Prabhupada was on a flight, and they saw, you know, they gave him a, Prabhupada said, "This is nice." Well, that set off a, you know, a reaction, through a ripple effect throughout ISKCON. Said, "Prabhupada drank a 7-Up. He said it's nice." There were 7-Up trucks backing up to people's houses. This is the propensity for enjoying the material world, that as soon as there's a, like, "Yeah, you can enjoy a little bit over here, this will get you to the goal," and then everyone's, you know, it's like, "Get it!" You know, that's how, that's becomes the norm all of a sudden. This is sort of what Narada Muni's telling Vyasadeva: be careful what you're telling people. All these slow step measures to get to the absolute truth and so forth. No, really, what you need is to cut down this tree. But it's not as painful as one might think. Simply, one has to confront the one's false ego and shine a light of knowledge on the false ego. The qualification is that I say, "I really want to know the truth. I'm not afraid of the truth. I want to see the actual light. I want to see what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong. I want to know, and I want to improve. Even though it may hurt, even though it may seem difficult, even though it may be embarrassing because I've been doing it another way for so many lifetimes, now I say I'm willing to take the truth." And one should know that that truth that comes from the Shastra is not going to endorse my false ego. As a good friend of mine put it, it does not endorse my sense of false ego. Therefore, it's very hard to tell the truth. And what is the truth? It is that we are, as Krishna says in the verse following Tadvidi Pranipatena, Pratiprashnena Seva, if you'll bring it up, 435, please. See how fast that is? It's amazing. This is better than Siri. .435, Siri. So this is what Krishna describes as the truth. Yadvatva na punarmoham evam yasyasi pandava yena bhutan yasheshani drakshyasyatman yatomayi. And the translation is, having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, in other words, that they are mine. So everything belongs to Krishna, including me. And every other living being actually is a part and parcel of Krishna. So there's implications to that. It means that I'm meant to serve the Supreme. I belong to the Supreme. I'm the servant of the Supreme. I belong to the Supreme, I'm a servant of the Supreme. I belong to the Supreme, I'm a servant of the Supreme. I thought I was the Supreme. No, you're not. And that's the difficult part to swallow at first. But actually, it's painful to be out of our real position and trying to put myself in the position of the Supreme. Honestly, it's embarrassing. And what I get is a pretend world called Maya. Maya is the pretend world that a little kicking baby gets. When he says, I want the moon, I want the moon, I have to have the moon. And then they give him a little mirror with the moon in it. And say, here you go, Schnicky, you got the moon now. Have at it. You know, it's like, okay. And it's actually ludicrous. But one can get the real thing by simply admitting that I'm not the center, Krishna's the center, and if I serve Krishna, then I'll immediately feel happy. So from the material point of view, I'll never have grandeur, significance, or opulence from the material point of view. Because really, I don't own anything in this world, and whatever I do get under my control for a short amount of time, very short amount of time I get. What kinds of things can I get here in Silicon Valley under my control for a very short amount of time that might be important to some people? Which cards? A luxury car you might get. What else? A job. That's very temporary. From what I've seen, it's very hard to keep this. If nobody, there's no security in that. People just drop you at any time. The wind changes, and sorry, it's all about the bottom line. It's really not about giving security to the workers. It used to be. Corporate jobs used to mean it was a family thing, and you'd be in it for life, especially in Japan. Now even in Japan, you don't get. What else? Electronic gadgets and money. You know, this idea of money, having lots of money, this will protect me, I have this, but all those things. Yesterday we were hearing, we had a conference call, and one devotee was telling how what a powerful realization that everybody, no matter what their belief system, while they're interacting with the material world, changes when they come to the time of death. And it changes drastically, and many people, most people, come to a point where they start reaching out to find some shelter. Because they have this, there's a point of realization that I haven't had any shelter up till now. It's a mental construct that I have shelter now, and that I think that my money, my position, my reputation, my physical prowess is some kind of shelter. Early on, and throughout the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami tries to dispel us of this illusion this illusory idea that you have some shelter in the material world. Story after story after story of great kings, of people who should have shelter because they have everything else, and evaporated in a moment, and reversals of fortune within a moment, or not getting exactly the opposite of what you want, like King Vena, who came as the son of Unga. And Unga was a pure devotee, but he got a bad son, really bad son, to say the least. So if it can happen to him, Shukadeva is showing it can happen to anybody in the material world. Don't take shelter of this material world. Deha patra kalataradeshu atmasainye sosatsapi. Tesham pramatonitanam pashyanapi na pashyati. Even though everyone sees it, they see everything's evaporating, that nobody else can keep even their very life. Ahani ahani bhutani kachantia yamalayam. Everyone's being delivered into the jaws of death, and everyone thinks, that won't happen to me. This is not facing reality. This is being afraid of shining the light of truth on my existential position. But when I do, when I take the courage to shine the light of knowledge on my real position, and I understand that I'm not significant from the material point of view, I don't actually have any grandeur from the material point of view. I have nothing, ultimately, from the material point of view. Then where do I live? Where do I go? What do I do? What is my real occupation? And the answer is coming in these verses. By hearing the Bhagavatam, by hearing these instructions, one becomes inspired to become the servant of Krishna. Now, there's great value in that. This is medicine for the soul, because the anxieties and desires that everyone has in the material world, from Lord Indra down to the little ant on the ground, are connected with the false ego. That is identification with the idea that I'm the enjoyer and I'm the controller. Subtly or grossly, in one way or another, even if I'm into charity work or anything else, in this material world, there's this conception that I'm the enjoyer and that I'm the controller. And it's dominated by the three modes of material nature. As long as I keep that ego, that sense that I'm the enjoyer and I'm the controller, I will be in anxiety because I'm thinking my position will be compromised at some time. Deep in my heart, I'm thinking, my situation will be compromised. I will be forced to give up my position of control and enjoyment. It'll come to an end. Adyantavanta konteya nateshu ramate buddha. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, an intelligent person, is it too hot in here? Yes, too hot. Please turn it down. We don't have to tolerate heat anymore. Okay, so he says, Adyantavanta konteya, an intelligent person doesn't try to hold on to these things that have a beginning and an end. He knows there's nothing in them. So where do you turn? You turn to your real ego, your real position. Find out what your real position is. That is, your faith shifts. By hearing and chanting the Bhagavatam, you come to the platform that you actually desire to serve Krishna. Admit that I'm not the controller and the enjoyer. Is this okay to say in public? And the benefits are immediate. In the material world, you can work hard for a long time, and the benefits are sometime in the future you will get. Just now coming. But you never really get it, because there's no actual satisfaction here. Because I can't really grasp the enjoyment that I'm looking for from the material platform, from the platform of my ego, where I want to be the enjoyer and the controller. I can't enjoy and I can't control the material world. Therefore, it's endlessly frustrating, even though I continue to try and I hold on to it. That's very difficult. But if I simply admit I'm a servant of Krishna, and I'm looking for service, more service to Krishna, then satisfaction is immediate, because there's always more service for Krishna, and that's unlimitedly available at any time, in any place, in any circumstance. Etavad eva jignastam tatva jignasanatmanaha anvayav yatarekya yam yatsat sarvata sarvada. Lord Krishna told Brahma in the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, the beginning of creation, he said, this process of devotional service can go on in any time, any place, and any circumstance. Because everywhere you can find service. You can inquire about the Supreme Lord. This must be done always in all circumstances. So if you want to be the servant of Krishna, you can be satisfied right now. The moment that I change my mentality that I'm not the controller and I'm the enjoyer, I just want to serve. Just say, I just want to serve. See? It works, right? You feel better? The best thing, that's the best thing in the world. You can't get any better than that. To be the servant of Krishna is the best thing. And that's the only platform that's free from this maya, this duality that gives me anxiety and problems. So this is chikitsitam. The change of heart, the change of mentality in my work. So it doesn't mean you give up your work, doesn't mean you give up your boss, it doesn't mean you give up anything. It just means you give up your sense that I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. And then, as Narada Muni is saying here, if you go on doing what you're doing now, but you change the intention for which you're doing it, then everything else will change around you. Krishna becomes the center. And as it is said in the next verse, that knowledge becomes concomitant, which means that when you begin to serve, when you admit I'm the servant of Krishna and you begin to serve Krishna, then you get knowledge immediately. It's concomitant. What does concomitant mean? Shraddha, are you looking it up? We don't have internet? How could that happen here in Silicon Valley? We have 50 devices ready to go. Let's go. Concomitant. Concomitant. Yes? Accompanied, especially in a subordinate and incidental way.
Origin is Latin, concomitant.
Latin is origin, concomitant.
Present participle of concomitary,
to accompany. It accompanies, when you say, I'm a servant of Krishna, then knowledge accompanies that. It comes right along with it because when I act in my constitutional position, then automatically I see things as they are. And then I'm not an illusion anymore. And when I try to be the controller and the enjoyer, then immediately I see a shadow. And I'm in illusion, and I don't see things as they are. And knowledge does not attend me. So, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami says, Dharma swanustita pumsam vishvaksena katasuya notpariyad yadiratim shrama evahi kevalam. Any work you're doing now, if it's not aligned in such a way that you're developing attraction for Krishna, it is useless labor, it is shrama, it is a waste of time. And he says it very emphatically, shrama eva hi kevalam, absolutely positively, without any doubt, you're wasting all your time, unless what you're doing is leading you to this point of being attracted to hearing about Krishna. So many examples about matter into spirit. I promised I'd talk about how to train matter into spirit, and it's like a magic show. You come from a magic show where you say, that, how did that happen? Instantaneously it can happen, and it has to do with our consciousness. So Prabhupada gives the example frequently of a flower. You can go pick a flower for various motivated reasons. And what would be a material reason that you might pick a flower?
To decorate your hair.
Not necessarily, if you have to finish the thought, otherwise it may not necessarily be. Because the gopis decorate themselves with flowers, right? And you might decorate yourself before you go to the temple with flowers in your hair. But it might not be motivated by being the controller, the enjoyer. So finish the sentence, or finish the thought with what would put it in the category of material.
To decorate your hair to look good at a material party.
At a material party. What's a material party?
To look good for... Yeah. Where there is no talk of Krishna, there's just enjoyment. People come for their own enjoyment.
Okay. And maybe you're trying to attract, maybe trying to attract the opposite sex. I saw the peacocks in New Vrindavan. They go to a lot of trouble. I mean, all day long, they're like positioning themselves to the, it's the males that have that, you know, the big plumage, and the females look fairly ordinary, and the males are jumping around and doing all their dances, waving their tails like that, and I noticed, I'd be talking to one of the peacocks, and all of a sudden he'd jump up and he'd start doing this thing, he'd say, what? And I look around, and a mile away there's a hen coming, and he can tell, he, out of the side of his eye, he's so, and now he's doing all this whole dance, very beautiful dances, very beautiful people, but it's materially motivated. He's just trying to attract her attention, and it's actually unseemly. It's unseemly. But if somebody does the same dance, shows the same plumage, and they're trying to please Krishna, like in the, you know, stories of Vrindavan, the devotees will decorate themselves, the gopis especially, they decorate themselves very beautifully, and they care how they look. For the most part, sometimes they're so eager to see Krishna, they just forget how they're dressing and they run off to see him in the forest. But they're dressing, and the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita points out that they're not dressing for themselves, they're dressing for Krishna. They're dressing to please Krishna. So the plumage, the ornaments, the way they look, they're thinking it will increase Krishna's pleasure to see me like this. Therefore, it becomes spiritual. And so if you pick a flower and it's for your own aggrandizement to make yourself look better or something like that, that's one thing. But in the Gita, Krishna says, if you offer it to me with love and devotion, then I'll accept it. And there's a reciprocal connection with Krishna. And it's transformed. So in the Gita, Krishna says, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagnir Brahmagno Brahmanohutam Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. That whatever you use with this intention to please me, whatever you do, whatever you give as a sincere offering from your heart in devotion, that so-called material thing becomes transformed into Brahman. And in his explanation of that verse, Prabhupada says that everything that we have that we say is material is simply spirit covered over by this mentality that this is for my enjoyment and I'm controlling it. But as soon as I abandon that mentality and I take the real ego, which is I'm a servant of Krishna and everything's meant for his enjoyment, everything in the world is available to offer to Krishna, and when I offer it, it becomes connected to him. It becomes reinstated in its spiritual condition. And therefore, one does not have to whimsically throw away everything one has, but the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada used to use the word dovetail, everything has to be dovetailed with Krishna. And to the degree that our income, our life energy, our family members, our houses, our cars, our reputation, everything is connected to Krishna, then it becomes spiritualized and it changes material things into spiritual things. And Prabhupada used these all the time. He used everything based on the principle given by Rupa Goswami, anatasyakta vishayan yatarham upayunjita nirbanda Krishna sambande yuktam vairagyam uchite. The real renunciation means to connect everything in its proper way to Krishna. Thinking of Ambarish Ford, who's the great-grandson of Henry Ford, and he had a lot of reputation just from having the name, and also a lot of material facility, lots of money, and so forth. And Prabhupada just encouraged him to use it all to serve Krishna. He brought up the point about the temple, this large temple in Mayapur. And he said, what do you think of the idea? Ambarish said, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. And Prabhupada said, yes, you can fund it. It's like $100 million. So he's been doing that. And he sees himself as, you know, a servant of Prabhupada. He has this, particular asset, you know, passed on to him. And so he's engaging in Krishna service. Otherwise, it becomes a huge burden. The weight of being that wealthy in society is a huge burden unless you engage it in Krishna service. But even the tiniest things that are what we consider our assets, which are left unengaged in Krishna service, weigh us down and become the cause of great anxiety. So the solution is that one should, as Narada Muni says here, use everything therapeutically. And then finally in verse text 34, that's 1534, Narada says, thus, when all a man's activities are dedicated to the service of the Lord, those very activities which caused his perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work. Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction and the mission of the Lord is called bhakti yoga or transcendental loving service to the Lord, and what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. While performing duties according to the order of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one constantly remembers him, his names, and his qualities. And now we'll take a few reflections. One thing that you heard that stuck in your mind that you can use.
Yes. So I was also, the recent conversation, the last part which you mentioned about the peacock, which came into my mind. The peacock also naturally dances when there is a cloud. So it is his nature. So will that be considered likely not fully material but not fully spiritual also? Or what would be the rationale in terms of the analogy if you mention? Because peacock is his attractions towards definitely material, but in this case, it's his natural feelings.
Well, from your point of view, seeing the peacock dancing because of the cloud, you'll think, there's the cloud, that's Krishna. You'll remember Krishna. And then you'll think, oh, the peacock is dancing because of the cloud. And then you'll be in spiritual consciousness. Sometimes it's said that Uddhava would, upon seeing a dark cloud, he would faint in ecstasy and fall to the ground because he'd remember Krishna. It's hard to say about the peacock's motivation unless you get an animal communicator or an animal psychologist, and I know a good one because I used to work with one. I mean, not in that business, but she's actually an animal communicator. She could probably tell you what the peacock was really thinking. But in Vrindavan, all the animals are fully conscious. It's not that they're attached just to eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and that they interact with nature because of those motivations. But in Vrindavan, all the plants, the creepers, the birds, every animate or inanimate object actually is fully conscious of Krishna, and their only reason for existence is to help to orchestrate the overall happiness of Krishna in his relationship with his devotees. That's a really nice question, though. Reflection. Yes?
I had a reflection, Prabhuji, when you talked about being a wealthy is a burden. So I see, probably in friend circle before my devotional service, either it's about like increasing the wealth or to protect it. Or when like to talk about retirement, okay, that whatever the life standards they have achieved from what they were while in the younger age or in school days, now it's been like how to maintain it, and it's like keep a constant burden onto the mind. Okay, if the job goes away, if my salary goes down, something happened in the industry, so that's always running onto the back of the mind. My EMIs or my mortgage is gonna be stopping, my car or my trips, my vacation, my all the leisure activities are going to stop, how I'm going to afford all that. So that was, most of them were an extra part of the richness which was coming up, which wasn't present earlier. So that struck a point. And even some up to myself also. When we are working over in the high-paying jobs, if something happens or the richness which is coming up with the paycheck, so that's a kind of a burden always running onto the back of the mind. How I'm going to afford it, my car, how I'm going to keep my rent going, or whatever the other factors. So that struck me.
if we cultivate gratitude also for the very basic things that how Krishna is maintaining us, then we can overcome some of these anxieties. Really, gratitude is a precursor to devotional sentiments. And Shukadev Goswami points that out when he shows the universe to preach it and said, this is the Lord's body. And look how he's taking care of everybody so nicely. And then we can also look at ourselves and see the very basic things. The idea that I have some money or I have some position or something like that, it's burdensome because it's on the ethereal, it's on the mental level. It's on the mental platform that I have something. But in gratitude, we can see that Krishna's allowing me to digest every day. And that, as Prabhupada used to say, if you have $1 billion and your capacity is to eat 4 japatis, that's how much you can eat and digest. That's how much you get. Somebody else may have nothing, but they can eat 20 japatis and enjoy it much, much more. And so our enjoyment and our suffering is already fixed up according to the body we've taken and the mental strain that it takes to try to enjoy and control everything in my purview is what really causes the anxiety. And you've given a lot of kind of detail of what that's like, and it's very helpful. A couple more, yes. Harivamsha, then Mukarvind.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I really like the point about what you said that we are not ready to know the truth. I was reading some having a discussion with a friend and about a kind of a progressive growth in material life. The quote came upon that we are really struggling and not progressing because we don't know our goal, and that is only stopping us. So in one sense, we are really fortunate that Prabhupada gave us the ultimate goal. We know the hallmark goal, being the servant of the servant, going back home back to Godhead. But this point is very significant, because if we shy away from the ultimate truth and the ultimate goal, then we don't have the big picture and how we will trade along the path. So that was very nice. Thank you.
Yeah. You can't wake up somebody who's pretending to sleep. And if somebody doesn't actually want to know the truth, and you can preach to them, you can say all kinds of things, and it won't penetrate at all, because they're not ready for that. Mukarvin?
The point when Harivansh Prabhu brought, and the sincerity definition you would give, given that I want to know the truth, that is the sincerity you have in this material world. And also I like the point that how this matter is just covered by the thin layer of that enjoyment, and it's actually spiritual, every matter, but it's just covered by that thin layer of that I want to enjoy and I associate, but if you remove them, then that everything is spiritual. That's what topic. Thank you so much for enlightening that.
Thin covering, yes, Hansapriya. Nice points, Mukarvind.
I like what you said, that how our sins affects the environment also.
What we?
Our sins, like our sinful activities.
Our sins affect the environment.
It reminds me also the one point you had made in one of the lecture was that how everything, like in our altar, the paraphernalia, everything is a reflection of who we are inside.
Yeah.
Actually, I still meditate in that point, and I extend it not just to my altar, but everything else around in the house too, so it helps.
Prabhupada's desk used to be perfectly arranged. And in fact, his secretary who would travel with him, and he traveled constantly, would always reset his desk wherever he went. Everything was perfectly in his place. Everything was polished clean and rightly situated. This kind of not wanting to waste any time anymore. He would be very careful with keys also, because there's always this thing like laziness. I just throw the key down, and then it's like we're driving to the airport, and so you forgot your thing, but where's the key? I don't know. Miss the plane, lose money. Prabhupada was not, he was very careful in dealing with the material energy, knowing that it's very tricky if you don't stay on top of it. In fact, one of his secretaries who told me, Tejas Prabhu, who's had a lot of service directly with Prabhupada, he said, accounting means to write it down immediately. This is accounting. Write it down immediately. This laziness that, you know, I'll get it later. Then I'll remember. It's like, you won't remember. You'll be off somehow, or you'll forget it, and then you'll cause difficulty yourself and everybody else. But this Krishna consciousness means that you're attentive to every detail that's going on around you at every minute. So it happens, you capture it right now. You make sure that it gets transferred. You can spot this in people who are very Krishna conscious. They're very careful to take whatever advantage Krishna gives them, whatever facility is giving, they're good stewards of that. They don't waste it, squander it. Prabhupada was careful about turning lights off when he'd leave the room. I notice this all the time. If somebody's, they just leave the light and the fan and this and that going, and it's like, leave the door open, whatever. But it's Krishna's energy. We have to take care of it. It's a reflection of our inner, of our own consciousness, and it comes out into the world. Sometimes, the other day, I noticed sometimes, where was I? I saw a cup on the ground. I was in some neighborhood, and I just saw a cup from one of the fast food restaurants. And I just thought, it causes such discord in the whole environment, one cup, because so ugly. And I looked, and at the very bottom, there was some orange substance that looked almost radioactive. And I was thinking, like, how, first of all, to drive into one of those places and buy a cup of radioactive, you know, hummingbird nectar that'll give you diabetes and stuff. And then when you're done, just throw it out the window on the ground. What's in your heart? What are you cultivating there that you're able to do that? On the other hand, somebody who's Krishna conscious is careful about the environment because he's a servant. He's thinking, this is Krishna's energy, and I have to take care of it. And this is the beauty of being a servant. At every moment, there's something to take care of. There's something to serve and to put into Krishna's service. And so the devotee is always careful and doesn't want to lose any one little molecule. He wants to keep it in the service and not wasting anything. So that's very important. So now we have time to chant Hare Krishna, because many of you are cultivating a home practice for bhakti yoga. And one prime way that you can do this is by each day taking time to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with no other distraction around you. How do you do that? Anything with an on-off switch, turn it off. And put your relatives all around the world on alert that you can't be reached at this time. Winston Churchill used to take a nap in the afternoon, even during the heat of the battle that was going on, and he said, if anybody wakes me up from the nap, I'll kill him. I'll have him executed. He needed his time. So you have to be that strict about fortifying yourself from all kinds of distractions. That in and of itself is an act of consciousness, that I'm spending this 5 minutes, this 10 minutes, this hour, this 2 hours with Krishna, and nothing else is going to get to me. If you do that once a day, it's a very powerful statement that you're making to Krishna in your commitment and devotional service, even 1 minute, with full attention. Even Narada Muni says, one moment of full attention, full awareness that you're a servant of God is better than a lifetime of running around with material desires, chasing material desires. What's the use of that? So we recommend, on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the entire disciplic succession, this process of every day taking time for yourself, to your real self, your soul, to chant the names of God. And all you have to do is repeat the sweet names of God. He has many names, and here's three of them. Hare, Krishna, Rama. Very, very sweet names of God. And the meaning of the mantra altogether is, oh my Lord, oh energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. And this will actually invoke the mercy of the Lord, the grace of the Lord, to give us this impetus to really engage in his service. So say with this sincerity, and we gave this definition, sincerity, don't be afraid of the truth. Say to Krishna, please reveal my real position and take away any obstacles. So we'll begin by chanting. On the beads, you hold it between your thumb and middle finger. Still feels a little warm in here, doesn't it? Can we turn it down even another notch? Make it Himalayan cold in here. Okay, so then start on the biggest bead next to the head bead, and you can chant one mantra, and then move to the next bead. And then you move forward, one mantra, one bead. And go all the way to the end, and then we'll stop and we'll chant. You want to chant in unison? Or do you want to try chanting each at your own pace? Let's take a vote. Everyone who wants to chant each at their own pace, and we'll try it for a set amount of time, which is we'll have about 10 minutes. Raise your hand if you'd like to go at your own pace. Hold your hands high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 40, 50, 65. No, I'm just kidding. And those who would like to chant in unison? Okay, unison has it. And I think we may just have to go until a couple minutes beforehand, so we may not finish a full round. So just give a full concentration. Mark your beads. If you don't finish the full round, you can finish it later. And I'll say first the Panchatattva Mahamantra. Please repeat. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
If you didn't finish, you can take homework. And anyone who doesn't have beads can get beads from the devotees who pass them out. You can, if you'd like to chant at least one round a day, the devotees will loan you the beads. You can take them for free. If you're taking them but you don't make the vow, then they cost $100. Just kidding. You can buy a set of beads here. We recommend it for your home practice. Take some time every day to shut everything off because the world's got too much information these days. Not that it has too much information, but too much is coming at us at one time. And best to selectively let in the transcendental sound vibration. And you can pass back your beads to Sridhar Prabhu's collecting, and then we're going to put away the asans. We're going to stand up and we're going to have sing the Maha Mantra together in a style called Sankirtan, the congregational singing of the holy names of the Lord. All the women, if you like, can stay on this side, and the men can stay on that side, so dancing can go on freely. And we thank everybody very much for coming to today's program. There will be a few announcements right after the singing, and then there will be prasadam for the whole city of Mountain View. Thank you very much. Gaur Premanande Haribo. Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, hey, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.